Imagine having all, guess all, of your learning challenges solved. With Docebo's Learning Suite, an AI-powered LMS built for enterprise, you can tackle any challenge. You can easily create and manage content, deliver training, and measure the business impact of your programs. Docebo is built for customers, partners, and employees alike, with dozens of integrations to embed directly in the flow of work. Check out Docebo today at docebo.com. Okay, welcome to C-Lab, the Customer Education Laboratory, where we explore how to build customer education programs, experiment with new approaches, and exterminate the myths and bad advice that stop growth dead in its tracks. Today, I'm welcoming Alessio Artufo. Have I got that? Did I nail it right the first time? Great job. Welcome. This is really exciting to me. You're the president and COO of Docebo, and I have to say, we're so excited to have you here. And in particular, we're here live today at Docebo Inspire. It's a stellar event. I'm having a lot of fun connecting with different people than I usually intersect with. We'll get to that in a little bit, because it's really important as you're coming into the, you've been in this market for a while, but as you're growing with this market, can you go ahead and tell me a little bit about your background? You as a person, this is the big thing about C-Lab, is that we want to get to know you. Where'd you start out? Where'd you come from?
So you're going to hear an accent from here on. That's a, I call it a spaghetti accent. It's from Italy. That's a trademark.
That's wonderful.
I moved to the United States, age 25 or so, in order to run a software company that was in the learning technology space, learning content management system, Exact Learning. I spent a couple of years back then in, of all places in the world, in Athens, Georgia, home of the Bulldogs, go Dogs. And people ask me all the time, why Athens, Georgia? And I spent years and years giving them the long story. The short story is, back then, I met my now wife there. And so, I stuck with it, and then I went back to Italy and met Claudio, and you know, there was an incredible opportunity. The company, the Docebo at that time, this is back 2012, was not quite yet a SaaS company. It was an open source software. And Claudio had this vision and ambition of building a global company. And so I joined with the purpose and the goal, I guess, of helping him accomplish that dream of building a larger scale global company. So I think I joined when Docebo was maybe 14, 15 people or something like that.
It was
March 17th of 2012, to be specific. And so, yeah, I've been in Docebo for more than 10 years. And, you know, about a year later, I established Docebo. I was fortunate to be able to establish Docebo back in the States. And when Claudio said, hey, where should we open in the States? I said, Athens, Georgia. And he said, Athens, Georgia. First, he thought I was talking about Athens, Greece.
That's great. Let's go.
European and focused. And instead, no, back in the home of the dogs. And hey, fast forward, we got a great company. The back then girlfriend became wife. We have a beautiful boy called Leonardo. And yeah, we're very happy. And we built an incredible company called Docebo. And I've had my fair share of also going in the colder climate of Toronto, Canada for 4 years' time.
Oh, wow.
Between 2016 and 2020. But my life has been in North America since. And yeah, I love it. And just so proud of what we've built at Docebo.
Right. That is a great story. It's this journey you've had over the last decade, bringing this into reality.
Yeah.
That's a lot. And I mean, I like where you came from. You started having those small ones. And I love the fact that this platform was open source before. And this has been a lot of transformation.
That's exactly right. A lot of transformation, a lot of change, a lot of people change, a lot of technology change. I remember that when I first joined Docebo, Dave, Fabio and I looked at each other and we quickly realized that in order to move from this open source technology to true SaaS, software as a service, so we basically, you know, his team rewrote the product within a matter of months, from the ground up. It had to be primarily written just in order to support the architecture that we were going to implement. And so from that to running business in a slightly different way to building an international company. Because again, at that time, the business was having maybe 30, 40 customers paying in Italy. Mm-hmm. And now our goal was to go in a global audience. And I always say it, you know, to European entrepreneurs that want to make the jump from Europe onto North America, it is a beast of a lift. And it requires a specific playbook, I guess. That's how I like to call it.
I want to learn about this more.
You know, it's a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun.
Well, let's do this. Let's take a – I think we've had this cannon blast. And you know what I think about that? It's International Talk Like a Pirate Day today.
There you go.
So I have a joke for you.
I'm the pirate.
Okay. Here's the joke on National Pirate Day.
I'm ready.
Why does it take pirates so long to learn the alphabet?
I don't know.
Because they spend years at sea.
Nice.
I had to do a learning one in here, you know? And it's also National Butterscotch Pudding Day. That's wonderful. But okay, that broke the ice. And let me go back. I'm going to frame this discussion up again a little bit more so that we can start paring down and walking through. I'd like to walk through a little bit of history and such. But this is, I think, is a really special opportunity. Alessio, we haven't had conferences for so long.
Yes.
And when I saw that you were having this, you're in wonderful Nashville.
What a place.
Nashville has changed my mind so much. It's just so much fun. But today, we really want to learn about the platform more deeply. And we want to inspire conversations with this network of people. When I talk about the network, we're coming from the angle of largely being in customer ed.
Yeah.
Customer ed is, as you know, some people used to call it extended enterprise. I like to get away. I feel it's not pejorative, but it's not evocative of the customer. I lead it with customer because the customer comes first, right? We have to create learning engagements for them that are fun, engaging, exciting. And I always talk about this, the difference between this, and I'm saying this for a reason, because we're going to be talking about L&D and customer education, how we balance and synergize those two things. It's a little different.
Oh, so much to unpack. I mean, first of all, I would say, Dave, our experience with the customer education world dates back in very shortly after we made our switch that I was talking about before to SaaS model.
Right.
I remember, you know, I was getting these inbound leads, right, that I was working myself as kind of a jack of all trades, and we would do these demos. And I remember jumping on a call with this relatively new startup. And yes, you're right. You know, at that time, as an LMS, the majority of the inquiries we were getting were around serving the needs of an internal L&D team, onboarding, professional education, and the likes.
Right.
And I really remember this call. It kind of stuck with me. It was early 2013. And these entrepreneurs said, listen, Alessio, we want to have an LMS, but we want to use it differently than most people do. In fact, what we want to do is create an academy for our, you know, we're former bankers. And we know there's a lot of big problems in the banking industry. We know it'll fix it. And so we've created curriculums for our former customers. And you know, they name dropped all the bankers that they knew at various companies.
And you're seeing dollar signs.
You know, and I was like, oh my gosh, this is the potential to be really big. Now, that company, frankly, was a startup. It was a lot of really great ideas. The execution didn't follow through. And whilst they actually became a Docebo customer and they implemented our solution, they didn't scale to the numbers that they were hoping. But in their fundamental principles, there was an incredible opportunity. Number one, exciting, because I just felt the energy of somebody that cared deeply about learning and the outcomes outside of the compliance world of I have to do it, which is what thrills me. And secondly, they had the dollar signs on their eyes, which for somebody like me that wanted to market the product, it's always interesting to be able to have conversation with somebody that actually attaches their livelihood and their growth to it, right? So it was as we would call, mission critical, so to speak.
Right.
And so, listen, it was that call and then a few others along those lines back then that made me go like to Fabio Pierovano, back then our CTO and our CPO, co-founder. Fabio, we're onto something here. This industry hasn't moved. this industry is set on a preconceived notion, the LMS I'm referring, that we build software where, you know, John and Mary are employees of a company that have a manager that have, and the data models of the systems are preconceived with that fundamental notion in mind, so that if you want to do a CD program on these systems, you're going to reinvent the wheel. It's a bunch of workarounds. It doesn't look good. It's stretchy, right? And so I think over time, companies like us and a few others out there saw the opportunity and built a product marketing messaging, built a software that addresses that category that is continues to grow. And listen, I know customer education is not a new concept. It has existed for a really long
40
time.
40 plus years.
Exactly right. I would say the subscription economy perhaps accelerated an opportunity to really maximize the value of customers, because, you know, a churning customer is a big cost. And right. we know that by educating them, we can prevent that from happening. So
you're speaking my language,
you know,
here.
It's amazing. Everybody will tell you at the Chevo that I'm fairly obsessed by it. And this started early for us. And hopefully we've built a fundamental system that enables us to execute properly at scale for really large numbers, millions of users, the likes of Amazon AWS, that uses us for both external education or customer ed, as well as internal, down to, you know, smaller organizations that have laser-focused programs for their customers. But hey, I'm going to stop the self-bragging here because I can go on and on.
Well, I like you to go on and on, but no, this is exactly and I'm really grateful for the time with you to hear this in person. Because I can now, I'm seeing the emotion, and I'm feeling this is the thing that matters, that we care about our customers, right?
100%.
And the subscription, let me take you back a little bit. In 2015, so I wasn't far behind that, 2013, I went to work for Gainsight.
Yeah.
So now I'm...
I didn't know that.
Yeah, I built their program, the education program. Wow. And at the time, we were struggling because we had four different systems, different LMSs. We had a couple internals. Yeah. One was a sales enablement. One was we had an external one that was used for marketing. We had another one and another one. And I went to Nick at the time, like, what's going on?
Yeah.
And so then we started the act of consolidating and chipping away and building a program. But even at that time, systems weren't quite there for this customer education playbook. And since that time, I've been at Outreach. Adam, my co-host, he was at Slack, at Salesforce, at Checker. And
Optimizely
is where he started. And if you've seen some of the decks the sessions that he's given, the story is wonderful. So you're right squarely in this picture. And I think, as I think about this organically, here's how I want to step into this. We've watched you grow, right? Kind of from the outside. Yeah. And Adam and I and many in this community that you see here, Samantha Murray on your team here is one of our cadre or our team, right?
Yep.
I mean, like the extended intercorporation team.
I love
it. We
incredible.
Think like you are. Every day I wake up and think, how can we make customer education? How can we do all these things? Now I'm even more thinking going higher than that, because education is everywhere within an organization. And I think that's where I'm excited to learn more about what this brand brings to the world. And let me say one thing about this before we do so. Adam and I both went and did demos to see the product as it is today.
Oh.
And we go, whoa! I mean, both of us were talking before, we're talking during, we're talking after. This is transformed. This is cool. And that was the time when we really opened up and we started saying, hey, we want to be a part of this as well. And that's where C-Lab falls into play. We're here to talk about like all the differences and get you out into the world on this perspective to say, hey, let's talk to Djibo.
Yeah.
So let's start off let's go back to 2015, because at the time there were a number of brands. I think there was like, I don't know if I want to mention as many of the names, but I'll go ahead.
It's all good.
Skilljar, Absorb, Topics.
There were
other brands at the time, but at that time, I think you were starting to think about customer ed. Were you in the United States at that time?
Oh, yeah. Just for background, I moved to the States in 2013.
And the company was working, and you were selling in through the U.S.
Yeah, that's right. And we opened our first North American organization in Athens, Georgia in 2013 or early 14, and then raised money in Canada in 2015, opened our Canadian hub in 2016, and went public in 2019.
Awesome. So you've made that vast trajectory right there, and now COVID hits,
Yeah.
which Did that positively impact you? Because I would think people are shifting and they're using more systems rather than training live.
Short answer is some things positively impacted us, but then culturally it affected us like many organizations. Because mm-hmm. we maintain as an organization a really touch and feel, very personal. Well, you see here, you know, the energy yeah. that you breathe in the room, it's really contagious, I believe. And when you now imagine that in a company where that presence and that workshopping together, that solving together goes away for 2 years, it was hard. Now, it gave us benefits because the search terms for LMS went up to the roof. And,
yes.
And, apparent demand defined as even a lot of unqualified demand was very high. We didn't see a tremendous increase in true demand, the qualitative demand,
mm-hmm.
that remained fairly stable. But where were we going here? You were saying 2015, yes.
Yeah, 2015, and you started showing up. We got all and you were on our radar very early on, and
right.
we're looking at all these different systems.
Very different maturity and understanding of the market, and frankly, not enough errors made. We had to
really.
We had to kind of go in it and experience it, and like I said, part of it is product. Development and understanding of the market and market fit. And part of it is also really understanding the dynamics of building a international company. Because at this point, we're running our product in Italy. The go-to-market is primarily in the United States and Canada. And creating that, synergistic element where product management and go-to-market are extremely aligned and we're building products that respond
right.
to market needs. It's not as simple, right? So we had our fair bit of iterations and lessons learned, frankly. And at that time, I actually think Adam, if you're in Amsterdam, hello, buddy. I miss you. I miss you. I haven't seen you forever. Adam was a customer at Optimizely. And I think we were not quite yet optimized for the job that he was trying to do. I think some things were good, but I remember exiting the San Francisco offices at Optimizely with a laundry list of what his team would say, hey, these are the things we need to accomplish. And we're like, oh, gosh, we're not quite there yet.
Well, can I ask you about that
then?
So that's interesting.
Yeah.
Because I think that those kinds of moments where you're a flywheel. You're
100%.
Experiencing different things, and you're going out there and talking to folks like Adam, and like, no, we need all this. Was that a surprise, or was that you built the product more for at that time? Was it more leaning towards L&D?
It was,
and then starting to get into customer.
We were not able at that point to really delineate clearly what we were doing for CED as opposed to L&D.
Okay, that makes sense.
What we were trying to do is to build a mature and stable platform that was feature rich. What we lacked was a more cohesive product management approach that looked at capabilities in light of use case and started thinking about, okay, if we build this, it's for that audience. If we build this, it's for
right.
this audience. And how are we going to be intentional? I would say that maturity started maybe around 2016, 2017. We won a couple of very large organizations
mm-hmm.
that actually wanted to execute very large customer ad programs. And some of these companies challenged us tremendously, and we had to accelerate building stuff that was very much for a purpose. And I would say between 16 and to this date, our maturity had increased because we
absolutely
were starting to work with some of the best companies in the world wanting to do world-class customer programs.
That's an amazing story. There is so much in that, don't
you? This is overwhelming here.
Oh, so this is exactly the kind of stuff that I'm interested in, because we're all in this whirlpool, this maelstrom
yeah.
of chaos.
Yeah.
Especially the subscription economy.
Yes.
Because what did I see on one of the slides of the keynote today? Where, oh gosh, what's his name? Was it Bill?
Bill Pelser.
Yes.
From the Berzin Academy. Yeah.
I was actually, This is something that is very interesting to me, because I've been very focused on customers.
Yeah.
But now many of us have been called to be a lot more fluid. So I think this is a good chink
yeah.
in the armor
yeah.
here to unpack.
Yeah.
And this is why we're interested
yeah.
in Docebo as a brand, and we're
yeah.
excited about it.
Yeah.
Because, okay, just today I saw that in that demo, and he was, or that presentation, and he was talking about how now with skills and all this, and the job landscape's changing, and now we're seeing these platforms, like your platform, to go into these companies, and these companies are saying, well, now I've got to skill up people on how to use my product, and I've got to do these things, but now I have to skill my team up. Now I have to enable people. Now I have partners all of a sudden that emerge. Right. Oh my God. Being a part of that journey over the last decade myself on
on
the front line, it's incredible. And the lessons learned, oh my God, I could tell you all the lessons learned. I've made all kinds of mistakes. And they were all around like, how do I bring it all together? How do I get my enablement team to respect what I'm doing and use my stuff to train our internal people? How do I have them go, like, I'd love to have my enablement team should be the first people to look at the product because we're doing it internal. And they send me that prototype material and I can make it really pretty to go to the customers and vice versa. That's where I would like to get you to talk more about the diversity and the breadth of your product.
So first off, I'll lead with a couple stats that I think would be helpful.
Stats, I love it.
These, some of these numbers are public, so actually everything is public. We've shared it as a public company. I can't you know, I can't wink my statements as much as I maybe would have done it in the private realm, so I have to be sort of cautious in that respect. But I will say we've said it publicly that, you know, the large majority of our customers use Docebo for at least a couple of use cases, them being internal and external. Internal being onboarding, compliance, professional education, sales enablement perhaps. And on the external side, customer ad and partner ad and, and retail education being sort of the primary drivers, with customer ad leading by far. What I found actually today, I've had a bunch of meetings with customers and I have not sat down with a single customer that didn't have at least two to three use cases in the platform. Some of them made the decision for their own governance model to run the use cases on separate instances of the Docebo for data modeling purposes and governance, compliance, whatever. And others chose to implement those use cases with one platform, you know, and leverage more scale, also economic scale.
Right.
And, you know, listen, we have been labeled at times generalists. And let me define what that means in the in the nerdy language of us LMS and learning technology practitioners. There are some companies that have done amazingly well at specializing in an exclusive use case that is external use case. And you know some of those companies, Dave.
Yeah.
And we truly respect them. We think they're great companies. What we found though is that by working with, again, some of the top Fortune 500 brands in the world, even when we stepped in those companies, say with a customer ad use case, 6 months in, if we have done our job right, they would come back to the table and say, all right, you know, there's sales mastery now that we want you to speak to. All right, our onboarding team is in this legacy platform named Beep.
Yes.
And we hate them. And we want you to step in. All right. And so we are actually proud of being called generalists, because if it matters, if it means that we can solve more problems, that's awesome. Now, what's the challenge? The challenge is getting to the level of granularity and absolute deep capabilities and being specialists in both the field of CD, customer education, and having a depth of feature, for example, in compliance. It's extremely hard. It's extremely hard to do everything fantastically. And so we picked our horses, and over the past, I would say, few years, we have put a lot of thought and effort into our customer education developments, which we have some more that we're going to be announcing soon, even tomorrow on stage.
I'm excited about that.
All right.
That is that. We're getting hints yesterday, or to this morning even, on AI.
Yeah.
You go, I love the presentation Claudio gave. And,
I know.
And all the glass everywhere.
Yes.
Okay, those listening are going to have to Google that.
Yeah, there's some pictures that are pretty cool online already.
But you've got a compelling case. And I like the generalist part because, to be frank, one of the biggest problems that, and I'm speaking as me, but I'm speaking as practitioner leader.
Yeah.
That for me, I believe, number one, education is a seat at the leadership table.
Yeah.
Meaning that our executives should always be thinking about the knowledge, right? Because if you only have so many people understanding how to implement your product, their partner, channel partners or something, guess what? That is bottleneck.
Exactly.
If our customers don't understand it, what do? Call our CSMs, call our support. That's a bottleneck. From a generalist point of view, you can alleviate those pressures in more than one place.
Exactly right.
And for me, the fluidity of moving educational content between one domain, whether it's customer facing or internal, like I think as we were warming up, I was talking about, I've been at all, like Gainsight, Outreach, Azuqua, now Service Rocket.
Yeah.
At every one of them, we have so many different silos. They don't talk. And that's where you, as a trusted partner now, coming in with a platform that can break through that barrier.
Yep.
It actually facilitates more discussions between different teams. If, like you said, if we did our job right, which what I'm seeing you do, and when I'm talking to people, then you have an expansion play, not only for you, but also for the customer.
Yeah.
Synergies, resource decrease. Hey, I'm this team, you're that team, I've got all this content, I'm going to give it to you, you can change it all up and use it for a different market. That's what we need more of. We have so many fewer people now to do the jobs. There's so many jobs 100%. Are available to do this.
Yeah.
You can't do it.
Yeah.
So that's great. I don't think that's negative in any way.
neither we do, and we believe it was a very helpful strategy for us to pursue.
Well, let's talk a little bit about the future. We're getting closer
sure.
on time.
Let's do it.
Now, this might be the moment where you hold back a little bit, but you don't have to because this isn't going live for a while.
No. I'm not going to hold back. I'm gonna lay it out.
Well, let's see, man. The future is, I there's not a day where I don't think, oh my gosh, there's this new thing that came out. And let me talk about a safe product because they're here, Vidyate.
Yep.
I look at platforms like that and, I know Mark, I know the Vidyate team.
Yeah.
Why am I excited about that platform? Oh my gosh, I've demoed it. I used it. And now I can automatically save a whole bunch of time by constructing a product training video
yes.
that I don't need to do in whatever, like a big video platform and spend days and weeks and months
Camtasia
and years.
And do a lot of editing and
no.
all that. Exactly,
but
right.
I can spend my time or my team can spend their time now building much more incredible content, right? We get the product thing out of the way and that's on autopilot. Now I'm going to have workshops or training day, and all these other things that I can reach my customers. So tell me, as much as you can, what are the directions you're pursuing that are going to bring this together even further and help our customers?
Yeah, so for me, it starts with the foundational concept, which also relates and connects to what we believe in. And what you believe in as a software company has to be represented in your brand. And what we believe in, there's nothing more important than the customer. I mean, I, as the president and CEO of the company, I come to this conferences, for sure, the sessions are important to me, but what makes me excited is the energy and the conversations that we're able to have with the customers. If a company lacks that, they lack their soul. If you lack soul, there's no LMS platform that can help you. And, we are just a piece of technology at the end. If you don't have the intrinsic motivation to doing something about it, there's no magic silver bullet. I would say that is my foundation. Then on top of the foundation, Docebo serves those leaders that have a vision and a passion in a multitude of ways. Today, I would say the biggest bets/plans in reality or thesis that we have. Thesis.
I like the word thesis.
Thesis.
We're a customer education lab. I was a scientist by training.
Oh, there you go.
Your thesis. I love this.
I like thesis. Well, we actually developed theses for acquisitions, for M&A and capital investment. So following our IPO with funds that we could potentially allocate. And one of our theses was this management team doesn't believe in roll up assets. Some of our competitors will go out there and buy another LMS for the purpose of buying revenue and buying maybe an angle that somebody's good at. The problem with that is the ones that lose the most are the customers, because now you end up having 2, 3, 4 assets in parallel. The customer experience is total shit. Not satisfactory. Sorry, I was about to use a bad word.
No, that's fine. We do it all the time. we try to hold back too, but
and so And so what I'm trying to say is we've been thinking about how do we go out there and buy technologies that enhance our customer experience. Comes customer education opportunities. The opportunity that we saw is, you know, Adam Balowson leads our customer ad team at Docebo.
Hi, Adam.
Does an incredible job. And his teams, by the way, diffuse so many support cases every day thanks to the effort they put in our community and our Docebo supporting infrastructure. And, you know, and our customers love it. I actually asked the customer, I was at test on the customers, like, hey, when you have a problem, what's the first thing you do? I swear to God, 3 years ago, I would have said, any customer would have told me, I would pick up the phone and call my rep. That's what they would say.
Yep.
This customer that is a significant customer, top 20 in the revenue chart of our company, said, I will go to the community. And I was like, yes, all right.
Now we're talking.
Now community, you said it. So community is the first investment that we decided to make to support the CE.
That was out there in the corner there. We're showing all that.
We bought Peerboard, which is was a startup that focused on community as a service. And
I love it.
Yeah. And so we bought them several months ago. And now we're in the full integration process. And we're going to be launching them early next year alongside a customer education package, which will include other capabilities that we believe are critical, like SEO rankable pages, ungated pages. To allow ungated.
So even in alongside an Academy where I might have a login and SSO, you would also have an ungated component.
100%. 100%.
Oh,
so
this
to enable, you know, true
still my
go-to-market
heart.
Model.
That is a use case, Alessio, that is so many of us have plagued us.
That's right.
It's like, well, you can have either or. And then we often say, well, then we're going to gate it. But then when... So just recently today, I saw a couple things. I think Brian Childs was talking about this. I've never seen a discussion about how customer education is now going to help the deal cycle, to help close.
Yeah.
And that whole inbound pipeline,
yeah.
We've thought about this, but that is amazing. I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah.
Solves a huge problem.
Yeah, we think so. There's a lot of stuff that we're doing there. We're working very hard with a lot of customers on the monetization side of things. We have a decent pretty good adoption on our e-commerce engine, whether directly or through integrations. But there's a lot of investments that are going in multi-currency management and stuff like that for scale, for global e-commerce programs. Listen, CED is an entire world, and it takes practitioners to understand it. Here's probably some of the things we've done best. I think, sure, we'll build products that are going to respond to the features needed, but the part that I'm most excited about is we now have in the company people like Sam Murray, Adam Balassin, that are effectively committees that work with our product management team to inform how the buyers of the customer education world think and you know what they need to do. And when you have the practitioners in-house, it's just beautiful things happen, you know?
Absolutely, because both of them, well, we've had Adam on the show in the past, Sam on too.
That's right.
But they're both friends. And what I mean friends is these are people that we all know and trust, and they're on your team, and that makes a big difference.
Yeah.
Because they know what we're dealing with.
Exactly.
And when you brought the people with that pedigree into your organization, that fluidly starts to evolve.
And by osmosis, it really permeates in the organization. It helps everybody understand certain things. And it's sometimes even small adjustments. You know, it's not the big things. Even the small things make a big impact.
That was what I was impressed with talking with Adam Ballhausen, where he was elsewhere before and he came in. He was so excited. When I talked to him, he's above the moon. And he's supported in that because now you're adopting some of the attitude and the ideas and the things that he's working with your customers on now. He's been in my shoes and other people's shoes that have been the practitioner leader.
That's right.
Yeah, that's been a great move. Is there anything, I have to ask about AI, machine learning.
Yeah, of course, I was going to go there.
Okay, go for it because that's everybody. And let me preface this a little bit because, Alessio, people are coming to us all the time saying, what's going to happen? What's going to happen? I go, well, we're education people. So you know what? We can do this. We fold across our arms a little bit and hold back a bit. We cannot afford to do that anymore.
Yeah.
We have to be on the forefront, the vanguard of educational techniques and tooling because everybody else is going to do it.
Sure.
But we have to do it with intention.
100% listen, I think our CEO Claudio Erba this morning on stage gave a theatrical representation of how we think about it. You know, he was saying creativity can only be unleashed via humans. We are deterministic, and you know, we believe that AI is an incredible accelerator. We believe that it has capabilities to do things, and we already use it to an extent in the platform, to doing things that are really helpful for practitioners. But the element of creativity and the emotional aspect and what, you know, the decisions we make are on top of it. They're the proctoring of it. They're the curation of it. Mm-hmm. So the way we think about it at Docebo, for example, now we acquired a company called Edugo. Edugo was a ChatGPT-based platform that focused on essentially building learning experiences through AI. And our view for them was, we have a technology at Docebo called Shape, which is our content creation hub. And in that world, we want to offer new interaction models that offer audiences, whether it's customers or employees of a company, an opportunity to learn in a more synchronous way. So there's going to be a lot of VRP or virtual role play, where going to be able to have conversations with you know, your AI buddy. But the AI buddy is going to have a knowledge that is imparted by importing in, I don't really love the brand name, the AI brain. That's how we call it internally. It's, I don't know that I like it externally.
Yeah, you'll buy it.
Whatever, you know. We'll,
have it name itself.
but we're gonna drop into that specific AI brain. For example, all the output of the gong calls or chorus calls. So we're gonna educate an artificial somebody about an entire industry and or business and or a function of a company. You know, the outbound business development and or the customer success team management of objection. And now we're going to be able to train reps that ramp on the top 100 difficult questions that customers ask you. How do you address it? And now you go and you do it with your, your, you know, AI counterpart, and you're going to get a lot of feedback that I, as the president of the company, having seen it a lot, maybe could have done it because I haven't listened to 7,000 calls deeply over the past 3 months. Now, of course, I feel like I have a good perspective on the industry, but I'm not an AI algorithm machine. So see how we have taken something that is automating an input. We placed it in a virtual AI brain that can get consumed by our own reps to get smarter at what they do every day. That's how we think about AI.
So it's like your large language model with all of the things that, okay, we know what the objections are. We can, this is mind-blowing. And
we're going to see it live tomorrow.
We're going to see it live tomorrow. Oh, my gosh. I'll have to video. I'll have to take a little video of a clip. I mean, I've seen these things emerge. And my last engagement, the last place to work, was Outreach.
Yeah.
Outreach was a sales and engagement platform.
Sure. Great
and
company.
We were thinking very, very much about what you're talking about, because the enablement topology in such an organization, look at it. Like, I learned so much about sales.
Right.
I had to build sales training. I had to coach people. I had to do all this. I learned how to do sales very differently through that platform. The things that that platform were introducing in the world was more of, and they got to this product called Kaya. And Kaya would, you'd say, Dave, how much is your pricing for whatever? Boom, there's a card on the screen instantly. If it came from you, not me, I didn't do anything.
Yeah.
Or you said something like, you know, I just don't feel like buying it today and blah, 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 blah. And something pops up on the screen and says, and this is, I have to train to be able to use this, but now AI can be listening to my gong call. Now, we use gong all the time.
Yeah.
And that platform is interesting because it can help highlight things, show me, am I talking too much? Am I talking too little?
Sure.
Am I talking about that? But it didn't get to, am I saying the right thing?
Exactly right.
And now that's where if you're tied into that and you're doing that enablement training, I do my thing. Oh, well, you get a 70%. Why? Well, you forgot to talk about this.
Exactly.
Okay, do it again. And now you have the confidence.
Yep.
And you've enabled your team. The hardest part is a lot of BDRs and SDRs are early in their career, or they've come in from somebody else.
Yeah.
They need to know what your platform does. We can train and enable them, but we need to get them like you and I could talk fluidly about customer education and training and education till the cows come home, literally. We would be here all day. It would be wonderful, get a glass
True
of wine,
story,
you know,
yes.
And but not everybody has that. And we need our teams to be able to be able to do that. And that even extends out towards the customers, because now let's talk customer advocacy. That's in the education, customer external part.
Right.
But now there's two vectors. One is a partner. You need to have that partner as skilled up as an internal resource and be able to say the same narrative. This is what the product does. This is, and they don't make stuff up, because you know reps do that.
Oh, interesting.
And not out of intent, but because if they don't have anything, they said, well, this is how I experience it. Then there's that customer advocacy part. So let's say Jill is the senior director of customer education, and now we can actually have her be trained and enabled externally to sell the value of the platforms and the things that we're doing. So it's this magical web of education and learning and enablement.
Yeah.
That sounds fascinating to me.
It
I'm
really
excited
is.
About seeing this tomorrow.
Yeah, you love it. Yeah, Giuseppe that runs our AI lab now as a VP of artificial intelligence, you'll just be mind blown of what they're doing, what they're building, and yeah, we're super excited about it.
This is super exciting. Okay. We're getting near time, so I want to start wrapping up. Is there any other things that you want to share with the audience? Other ideas, thoughts? We've talked about all the cool things that are coming out. Anything else you wanted to say? I know you love the customers, and that's what I really enjoy.
Yeah, I mean, nothing to add, man. I think we covered it all.
We covered a lot.
I just feel like we covered a lot, yeah.
All right, well, let's take it home.
Okay.
This is how we always close it out. Like, right. You've told us so many things, and this couldn't be better. Alessio, you're a wonderful guest on the show.
Thank you so
much.
We
love doing this
so
kind of
kind.
Thing. Well, you've done it. This is amazing. I'm excited. I'm not only am I excited about this, but I had the opportunity to be here and engage with the customers. These are our people, right? We're learning things together, and
I love
to talk.
You can tell from talking to customers how they feel about the organization.
It's really cool, and this is a great event. All right, well, let's take it home. And on our outro, it's always, if you want to learn more, we have a podcast website at customer.education. It's the C-Lab podcast, and you can find all the show notes. You can find transcripts, this recording, everything's out there. We'll put other resources as you have them onto the side as well, no problem. And if you found this podcast valuable, make sure you share it with your friends, with your peers, with your network. Go for beers. Let's get out there, find the others, and make sure that we share the message. And thanks to Alan Cota for providing our wonderful theme music. And we know that many of you are subscribed right now. We would really appreciate a 5-star review on Apple Podcast if you're out there on Apple Podcast or wherever you are today. And once again, thank you, audience, for joining us. Get out there, educate, experiment, and find your people.
Thank you.